It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com, presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I have a great show here for you today. Drummer and backing vocalist for the band Taming Sorry is here, Adam Ouellette. Ottawa-based band that is here to talk to us about their brand new single, their fourth single called Gone and Runaway. So let's get started. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, what a start. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, you know, like doing the best we can with what we have, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys just came off a show for Friday night.
It was the 1 hour special for all the artists. Mm-hmm. So this Friday, we have our full set airing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How did that feel to perform after all this lockdown?
It felt great. It was shot back in December, I think. Yes, December. So it was much needed, mm-hmm. you know, and the having the socialization, you know, seeing other people is great.
It makes a big difference when you're performing. And a lot of people don't realize when you guys are in studio all the time, it's a completely different energy. You know, for you guys to be able to bring your vocals and bring the performance, you know, for the live record or when you're performing live, you're feeding off the energy of the people.
Mm.
And such a difference in feeling for everybody, especially for you guys just getting together and everything, right?
Yeah, it's still hard to get used to. Like, we're doing shows online and stuff, but it's never the same as in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's the energy that we feed off of that drives us. It's not there. So you have to create it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it can be a mental game for sure.
How do you guys describe your live performance?
Lots of energy. Just, I think before we actually had our producer, we were told a few times within a short span, say like, hey guys, like you guys are amazing live. The energy is just out there. But what you have online does not represent this. Mm-hmm. So that's when we're like, okay, yeah, we need to make sure that we can record with someone who can bring that energy into the songs that we play.
Mm-hmm.
Gone and Runaway was definitely like a 180 of going into like the ballad. But as you listen to it, you still notice that we want to bring the energy into the song as much as we can,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we do it. That's who we are live. You know, it's all about the more energetic we get, the more energetic the crowd gets. And then it's just a vicious circle that just keeps going, in which I love it.
Oh, well, we love it too, because I miss rock. I really, yeah. really miss it. And you guys bring it back, but you have a much more modern take to that. Like, I love Monster Truck and like so many of the bands that I've covered at Edgefest and, you know, so many of the other locations that that I work with in Ontario. And it's so great to hear you guys come out with the songs that you have. You haven't been together very long. It's only been, what, 3 years?
Yeah, like three years. I mean, myself and the guitarist Mig, we've been in a band for like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The lineup did change a little bit throughout the years. So yeah, like we've been the core there, like for sure, three, four years.
Now, tell everybody about the name of the band and how you guys all met, because some of our fans, like we've got fans all over the world. So it's just nice for them to hear, you know, a little bit more, you know, about you guys and how you guys formed.
Yeah, well, it started out, it was myself, Mig, and Danny, who used to be the lead guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And we had another band at that point called Core. Okay. And it just evolved where the singer left. I had my eye on Warren for a while. So as soon as that happened, I was like, okay, like, I want to go fetch Warren because I know I can definitely work with him, his voice, his style.
Oh, he's good.
So we got Warren, then we lucked out when we got Alex, the bassist. He's just incredible. He's musically, he's the glue in the band. Like, he's so well versed and pretty much all instruments that we play, and it's so fun to work with him. So we started out, when we got that lineup, we said, yeah, this is it. Like, let's push and let's do something about our sound, because we knew we had something. So we just evolved to a point where, you know, we kept working hard, we pushed, we got the attention of Roz Hayes Citrullo, our producer from Toronto.
Juno Award winning nominee, right?
Yeah, he just got Juno nominated. Mm-hmm. So we're super happy with that. We're proud of him.
Oh, he's a fantastic producer, engineer. Oh, yeah. Like, he does so much, but boy, he's good. He's worked with a lot of bands, like Monster Truck and quite a few of them.
Yeah. So he's more than just a producer to us, right? Like, he's become a friend. You know, like, it's really hard to find that producer that gels and that meshes with the band. Mm-hmm. That's not afraid to push you farther, to get you where you want to get. And Ross has developed into like a very good thing for the band. And, you know, we owe him a lot to the sound that we have and the skills that we've developed.
Does he take you guys individually? Because I know other producers, you know, that are really great with Canadian artists here in Canada, that take each individual artist aside, each musician, and works with them and gets to understand them and what their capabilities are. Did he do that with you guys?
Oh, he does it all the time.
Yeah. And that's the lead of a great producer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he likes to just take everything, break it down, and just say, like, yeah, this is good, but let's make it better. Mm. And by doing this, each of us spend the time with him, and we just, like, okay, like, let's do this. Alex usually does it right the first time for some reason.
There's always one browner in there, right?
Yeah, that's it. But the last two songs, we've been tracking bass and drums at the same time.
Nice.
To keep that feel, because Alex and I have a certain connection that's really, like, we like to just get it right in the pocket. And when we play together, there's more feel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, you can tell, like, in the songs, like in the tracks, like, there's the dynamics that we can bring from that.
That's what I love. There's just so much that you think we've lost throughout the generations. You guys have just got a pocket of your own. Now, to be together like a short period of time and then to come out with your debut single, I love, love, love this song. And that's Down with the Devil. Tell us about that.
It was a child of our first meeting with Ross. Because we'd sent him our demo, which is not online anymore. I believe there's one place in Germany that is live and we can't seem to take it down.
Oh.
But anyways, Easter egg.
Happy Easter.
And basically, so we met with Ross, we came back home, and we worked our butts off. And we said, let's write a song the way he told us to. Mm-hmm. And we came up with Down with the Devil.
Oh, so good.
Although the lyrics were completely different. But it did change for the best, you know, like, we're so happy about this one.
Well, I think that's what the glue was. The moment that anybody heard this, you guys had that sound. It was just, it resonated with everybody. And anybody that loves rock, you guys just solidified your spot when it comes to rock. Well, let's introduce this one right now. Debut single for Taming Sari, and this is Down with the Devil. Love this song. You're going to love it here on Music's Journey.
She said straight. Never.
Down with the Devil, Taming Sorry, from the album Thirsty from the Drought, which you can get on their webpage and their merch catalog. Is that still available?
Yes.
Awesome. Speaking with Adam Ouellette, and Adam is the drummer and background vocalist. And Adam, I have a question for you. How do you know there's a drummer at your door?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
The knocking speeds up. Wait, another one. How do you know there's a drummer at your door?
I don't know.
He doesn't know when to come in.
Okay, that one was good. Yeah. First one, Alex, I admit.
Alex would agree to that one. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a former drummer, so I had to ask.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, back to the Music's Journey podcast with her special guest. Here is Kim Sear.
I love that song. That one just, you know, gave me goosebumps. So it was just like it just... you know, got me going for sure, going, ha, I got to interview these guys. These guys are so good. So
good.
You guys came up with another single, and that was Wake Up Boy, and that was in July of 2019. And then those two singles set the stage for your debut album, which was Thirsty from the Drought. So talk to us about that album, because I know that Ross Sotero helped produce everything for that too.
Well, before we released the first single, the whole album was recorded. We were basically planning let's do a single, second single, and then release the album. The main reason was we wanted a video for each single. So when you start off and you're like, okay, let's do this, what's the best way to fast forward your content without losing the attention of your fan base? So it's a new world now, whereas you can release a full album, but then if people don't know who you are, your album will just, it's gone. 3 weeks, no one's talking about it. So we wanted to just ramp up and just keep the content coming out, and that when the album came out, we had a little bit more push to get like that much more of a fan base. So the choice to go with Wake Up Boy was just because we wanted to have fun.
And you did. You this know, video you did.
Yeah. So it was the, I think the funnest video production day we've ever had.
You guys were just messing out there. That's what you guys are doing.
And the funny thing is, Meg has been riding motorcycles since he was a kid. So he's very talented. But just so you know, there's no clutch or brakes on that bike.
No way. Nice.
There's a couple of close calls, but luckily they didn't make it in the video.
See, I used to ride dirt bike.
Very nice.
I used to do it all the time. And so I would always cover that when it come to Waitstock and all the other events. And the guys used to tease me all the time because they knew that I could ride. So every single time I would be up taking the pictures, I get right underneath the wheels, right? Or right over top. They would come and make sure that the wettest day possible, I would get all the mud, you know, that was stuck right to my head. And I never stopped shooting. They're going, we can't do anything to shake her. I said, I used to ride bike. It's just like, it doesn't faze me. They couldn't win over me. Yeah. Now, no brakes and clutch, that might have.
That was playing with fire for sure.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But it was a great afternoon. You know, Dominic Llanos, our videographer, is just incredible at working with us. We throw an idea, a crazy idea at him, and we said, listen, we'll be in a scrapyard, and we got the costumes, to show up. So then when he saw us, he's like, okay, that's what we're doing. So he played along and just made the storyline work so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the fans just absolutely loved you guys right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. We got lucky.
Well, not lucky. A lot of the bands that come out, they just play, like you said, they play their album, their EP comes out, they play their two songs usually out of it, and then they kind of sit. They'll have maybe a lyrical video, and they don't have that momentum. You guys knew how to market this, like, right away.
We're all very business savvy, I guess, mainly Alex. We met with certain people to learn about what the industry was looking for, mm-hmm. what the tendencies were. So that's when we decided, like, okay, like, let's get an album and then just plan it out, but on the span of 6 months.
Wow.
By doing this, I think in 3 months, we went from 700 likes to 2,000 likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's because we just kept pushing. Every day was a grind, you know, like, okay, who can we email? Who can we get interested? Like, where can we get new fans?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like that. Like, every day, like, it's posting on social medias, making sure that all our fans are, you know, paying attention, but not just saying stupid things, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
It's a game that game,
it's a whole thing that you guys have to do. You've had to reinvent. Like, it's the one thing that you guys have done well is where a lot of the artists that are out there didn't have the social media content and, you know, that relatability directly one-on-one with fans and performing live streaming, you know, online. Nobody knew how to do that pretty much a year ago.
No.
And you guys were already in that market space. You already were doing that branding for yourselves. And when you have that hunger and that drive, it's going to be successful because it's not going to land at your door. And I know so many people that are, you know, that are artists that think that, you know what, I'm going to have the tour bus. I'm going to have the party scene. Everything's going to be there. I can't wait to do this. Yeah. And they don't do anything. You guys got to be turnkey ready, you know, for any label to pick you up.
That's it.
All right. And you guys are doing the work and it's really paying off. You guys have got such a great fan base and they are loyal. Really loyal.
We love them. Like, it's so fun to watch. Like, because I do this to have other people listen to my music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all do this, all five of us. Like, it's not about being rich. It's all about being famous because you don't really get that anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight and fight and fight because there's so many incredibly talented bands out there. So it's how can you stay ahead by doing as much as you can?
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky because, you know, like, Alex is great in the business aspect as well as the social media. Same thing with Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the graphic design, the video editing and stuff that we need.
Nicely done, by the way.
Thank you so much. But we put all those things together and we become like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like any business, we're going to keep pushing because we believe in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really helps us keep pushing material and stay in positive in this really hard industry, I guess.
Not an easy one to crack into.
Especially with COVID.
That's right. And, you know, so many people don't realize that, you know, for fans, they just think that you guys, you know, get on the radio and that's it. For you guys to get on the radio, for you guys to be pushing and pushing every single day, the finance that it takes, you know, the funding that it takes, the amount of time that it takes, you know, to be able to just go from one radio station to another. And you're not, you guys don't even do that end of that yet.
No.
Right?
Yet, exactly.
Yet, but you will. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, like, it's not that easy to stick with it, to believe enough in yourself to believe enough in the band, because bands always, you know, there's always going to be dynamics. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, that's always going to be there. But if you guys understand each other, like, it sounds like you guys really have, you know, the format, the base that you need to, because it's a machine, as you said, but every moving part has its place. And without that moving part, you guys just aren't the same. And so you respect one another.
Yeah.
And work together, regardless to personalities or regardless to the dynamics. You understand what each other's worth is. And that's what makes a good band.
Yeah. And it's hard to find musicians to share that value, you know? You know, I've been in so many bands and played with so many musicians that when I came across this group, I was like, hey, this can work.
You know it, right? You can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys definitely have it. And I'm really hoping, you know, that you guys stick together, because it's so good. And the sound that you guys are producing, just the composition, all of it, it just fits perfectly. And we just love the sound. So let's talk about how you came up with the name for the band.
We, like every band starting out, the biggest question is, what are we going to be called? So we wanted something, you know, out of the box a little bit. So we started looking online for certain things, like, you know, like mythical objects. So, you know, because there's like all Excalibur or this, and try and find something around that. So I came across the Teming Sari. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly, but in Malaysia, it's like a little knife, a krist, I guess they call.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, that's cool. That's Teming Sari. Hey, let's create a character. And basically we're taming that person, or in our case, Mother Nature. So we wanted to create a persona for Sari, which was kind of like a Mother Nature kind of figure, because that's like, that's to us, all of us, was important. Like, nature is important. We're kind of taming. It's a lot of thought and whatever in it, right?
That's, you know what, probably the coolest story behind a name yet. That's very creative. I absolutely love that story. Love that story. Well done. Now, you guys got your brand new single out. This is your fourth single right now, and that's Gone and Runaway. Now, this story, you know, really talks about the heartache and the jealousy and, you know, what it feels like, you know, to go through that kind of breakup. I know a lot of people, a lot of people are going through that right now with the COVID breakups. And, you know, so tell us the meaning behind this one for you guys and the writing process.
It was a very, it was a special weekend at the studio for sure. Everybody was under a lot of pressure, you know, the stress of all the COVID. And so we wanted, we knew from the start we wanted a ballad. And we've been trying to write a ballad for 3 years. And when we got in the studio, it was a very emotional process for us. A lot of frustrations, you know, so we were able to push through everything and transfer that into the song itself. And that's the goal, right? Like, you want, you don't want to go record a ballad when all you want to do is go to the beach and play volleyball.
That's true. That's true.
I guess, you know, the mood was in a ballad mood.
Well, it's nice to hear, you know, coming off of the work that you guys have had, you got a great way of telling a story and, you know, to do it in that classic rock way, but it's an awful lot more modern feel to it, but you can feel the emotion.
Yeah.
Which is great, you know, with the music. So we're going to play it and come back and talk about the lyrics and everything. So we're going to play Gone and Runaway, the new single by Canadian rock band Teming Sari. Here it is on Music's Journey.
After the sun fell out of the sky.
Great tune, Gone and Runaway, the brand new single from Taming Sorry. We're chatting with Adam, the drummer and background vocalist with the band. And I have a question for you. Who is the drummer for the Mexican Beatles? Any idea?
No.
Gringo Starr.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
It's like Dad Jokes 2.0.
See, thank you. Thank you. He's his biggest fan over here. So it's like, yeah. Oh, my God, I can't shut it off. Yeah. I just can't.
I've heard them all a zildjian times.
Go away. Go away.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, Lord. Enough fun. Let's get back to the Music Journey podcast. Once again, with our special guest, here is Kim Sear.
I'm so sorry, Adam. I say this probably every time I talk to somebody, because if there's if there's drumming in there, you know darn well he's going to be saying something. So I promised him a podcast that he can just get on and do all the dad jokes and all of the, yeah. You'll be tuning out, right?
Oh, I will.
Hey. Wow.
Nice.
You think you know somebody. Oh,
see, I like people who are real and say it like it is.
Yeah.
What's the best present in the world?
Shut it off.
What's the best present in the world?
Stop it.
A broken drum.
It? Oh, God. Quit.
Hey, you can't beat it.
Go. Shut up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm gone.
Oh, torture. Torture. Okay, he's not. He's muted now, so he can't
That's
do
good.
Anything.
That's good.
Okay. So was it really hard to be vulnerable? Because I know that when you guys are playing rock and that energy and what you guys have built for your brand and, you know, your sound, it's really hard to be able to step back and be able to deliver that in the lyrics and to become vulnerable in order for it to be believable.
That's the hard part, right? How to make your words believable to people.
Mm-hmm.
Warren has a million stories to tell. And, you know, like every time I'm go like, oh, wow, that was good, man. You know, and working on all those stories and experiences from Warren really brings that to the table. And for Gone and Runaway, I mean, he put those vocal tracks down in 2 hours.
Wow.
Like he was on point. Like he was feeling what he was singing.
Nice.
And that's what really brings the mood to the song altogether, you know.
It helps the whole band, doesn't it? Because for you guys to be able to perform and get into, you know, the composition and the music, you know, behind the whole thing. So when you've got that vocal track that's just going to hit and you can feel it, you know, you know it in your bones, you know, whether or not, hey, this is going to work. And then all of a sudden it just inspires the rest of you.
Exactly.
You know, to deliver what you guys are doing in the composition.
Yeah, that's it. You know, like how everything comes in, you know, like playing a different time signature than what we normally do. And adding different things, because it was like I said, it was our first ballad, so it was all new to us.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, you know, Ross was a huge part. Together, we were able to really bring all the feelings. But it's a lot of work. It's, you know, changing the key. Okay, let's go into that. Scrap this riff. Let's try this. I mean, we'll try like 10 different riffs until we find the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when everything's put together, and then at the end, Warren jumps in, it's just like...
magic.
Know? And then funny thing is, we ran out of time at the studio that weekend.
Oh, no way.
And we didn't have time to record back vocals. So since we're not in Ottawa and having to go in Toronto in this COVID thing is try and do it as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, I ended up doing the back vocals at home.
Okay.
In our studio. And then we just sent it over, and luckily it worked.
Oh, I know so many people have had to do that. Like they've yeah. now decided, you know what, if this is going to be the way it's going to be, you know, for a while, they've all set up studios, and it's amazing what you guys can do.
We have to, right?
Mm-hmm. Reinventing that wheel in a big way.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's fun.
This song, I think, you know, when everybody hears this, like with our listening audience, I know that they've been waiting for this one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been talking about it. So I'm really excited to see what the response is going to be, because we have people like that are in Iceland, you know, Alaska, you know, to Afghanistan, to every corner. And I know Australia's really looking forward to it. And so, you know, we'll see how they react to it. But I know they're going to love it. Absolutely love it. Great job.
I'm sure they will.
Great job on the ballot. Really great.
Thank you.
Now, you guys performed 45 shows. Like, you guys were really, really busy, you know, when it comes to trying to promote and play for your album at the time. But you guys ended up doing so well. You were doing sold out shows.
Yeah.
Sold out shows, you know, singing and opening for some of the really great bands like White, Cowbell, Oklahoma, the Plant Smashers, the Lazies. Like, you guys really landed in the pocket, you know, when it comes to getting on these great shows. What was that like for you to play for such bigger audiences?
It's the best. It's having, and it's not just playing to a sold out place. It's playing your song that's been playing on the radio. And then next thing you know, you have about 100 people singing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the feeling that really gets you. And you're like, this is why I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they're appreciating the song as much as I am. Because playing our songs to people is my favorite thing in the world. You know, because we've worked so hard on getting them the way they are, it's so fun to go in and just knock them out, you know? And those shows have been the best experiences, because we can really connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that even after this COVID and the smaller crowds, we can still get that, that feeling, you know, which I'm pretty sure we will.
I think that, well, there's no doubt about that. But I think that so many of the bands, when they do get really big, they love, you know, the big, huge crowds and everything. But sometimes just to strip it back and play back to the smaller, you know, pubs and places that you guys have played before,
yeah,
you know, in Ottawa. And, you know, like when the fans were loving your music, loving your sound, and that first initial feeling like, hey, we know this is going to work. They love the sound. Like, if there's nothing better than that very first feeling when you guys have all practiced your work and, you know, practiced your sound, and then go out there for the first time as a full unit, you know?
Yeah.
And people remember that whenever we ask that question, what was your favorite stage? And they usually bring it back. They usually enjoy the most in their memories is that one stage that they played, where everybody was just so welcoming, and the owners were, they were just so grateful, you know, for the owners giving them a chance.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to play the venues. What was the best thing that you, like, I know seeing the guys play, do you learn a lot from them because they're so, like, they're veterans when it comes to playing their music and seeing what they do? Did you learn anything from the other bands that you were playing with?
Oh, we always do, right? Like, every band we play with, there's always something that we go like, hey, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, it all depends on the band, right? But like when we played for when we opened for Lazies, we learned that it was okay to get up on the bar with your guitar to do a solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, how can we bring that energy to the next level? And that's what we've been working towards every single jam that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Is how can we better ourselves? You know, like, how can we make it so that the day that we have to play in front of 20,000 people, we knock it out of the park?
Yeah, it's gonna be hard, you know, coming off of such a hype. Like you said, you're doing everything you can. You're getting ready to come into your new music. And yeah. then COVID hits.
Oh, it was hard. Because we had a lot of things lining up for us. Mm-hmm. We had like a bunch of festivals. And it was our first year scoring all those festivals.
Yeah.
Luckily, most of them rescheduled and we were able to fit stuff in mm-hmm. with the Ottawa Dragon Boat Festival. Mm-hmm. We were able to do a pre-film show, which we did in our studio.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, luckily we still got that, but it's not the same as playing for a few thousand people.
Yeah, you can't, like, there's just no way you guys can pull the same energy because you feed into that. And it's just like electricity going through you guys to get out and just feel the audience cheering you on before you even start.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets you pumped. And there's just nothing better than a live performance.
Yeah.
So you guys also played for the first intermission for the Ottawa Senators. Talk to us about that.
That was the best/worst experience.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
We were incredibly lucky to score that. And that was all because of Down with the Devil. And also Warren's dad works at the arena.
Oh, okay.
So we got lucky enough that he knew who we had to contact to try and get our song on the speakers during a Devil's game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd be Down with the Devil, right?
Ah.
So instead she said, actually, would you guys be in to come in and do a show for us? So it was a 3-song. We came in. Everybody was nice. We did not get a sound check.
Oh, no.
So... what happened is when we played in the arena and on the recording, it sounded like crap.
Oh.
So that was our first experience at trolls. People that don't know who you are. They don't know you've been working hard. Yeah. You got dealt a bad card, bad sound card. And they just started ripping.
They're like leeches when it comes to that, aren't they?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I was still taking my drum kit apart when the guys said, like, dude, did you see what people are saying about our show?
Oh, no. Oh, man.
You know, so
that
luckily
sucks.
The day after, our fans, you know, our army came in and said the things we wanted to say but couldn't.
Mm-hmm. God love it,
yeah.
Right?
But it was a great experience. You know, it's to get to play in front of 10,000 people, you know, at a hockey game,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm from a small town. If you told me, I was going to say 20, but let's say, 25 years ago, if you would have told me back then that I'd be playing at a Sens game, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have believed you, you know,
quite an accomplishment.
I think they should invite you back.
I think so.
We're hoping. She did say that she would. Well, we're hoping. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met the owner of the Sens, Eugene Melnick.
Right.
I met him in the parking. He was nice. That's about all. It was fun. It was a really fun experience. We were right next to the players' change rooms. So we got to meet a bunch of players. So, yeah.
We're going to manifest this. We're going to put it out there. So we know it's going to happen, okay? Because every band goes through this. Yeah. Every band. I don't care how great you are, you know, and how well, you know, you're known and the mm-hmm. fan base that you have and how long you've been doing it. It happens. And everybody has the opportunity now to be able to get onto the social media and say, oh, my God, these guys can't sing. And you hear it. You hear so many people going through it. And it just takes one live performance to say, you know what? They shouldn't be doing that to begin with, but you know, unfortunately it happens and it's just, it's sad, you know, that we can do that, but we've got to have support for each other. And we got some phenomenal, phenomenal musicians and artists here in Canada. And we've mm-hmm. really solidified what our stake is when it comes to music and the music industry. And you guys are part of that. And thank you for all that you guys are doing, because you guys are so good. And I hope you guys know that from our standpoint. I've been in the business for over 30 years. John's been in the business for 40. And so oops. Yes. I wasn't supposed to say that.
Really?
Wow, you're 52, right?
Yeah.
And holding.
It's a prodigy.
And holding. And holding. Okay.
But you probably started at 12 years old.
That's right. No, he'd say 6 or 5. Yeah. He's going to milk it for all it is, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. Now, you guys also did The Rebel. The 101.7 and their Real Rock concert series and the Real Rock Search. Tell us about that.
Unfortunately, it didn't finish, right? Like we were going to the finals with two other amazing local bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, again, COVID. That was right before they closed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I believe we played a show on March 12th and the day after they were closing everything.
Yeah, it was like the 14th or something. They shut everything down. Yeah,
something like that. We were very excited because from the moment we got Down with the Devil out, Laura Collins at Rebel 117
mm-hmm.
jumped on it instantly. And she just pushed us throughout the station. And she's like, play this, play this. Mm-hmm. So we owe her a lot for the Rebel Search and the Rebel Rock series as well, because that's what got us the Lazies show. And they've given us a few other shows as well. And every single show we did with them was sold out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which, it's a great feeling, right? Because mm-hmm. when you look at it, the last... my 7 shows maybe were sold out.
See, I told you. Soon as Eric sent me the information, Eric Alper, as soon as he sent me the information, I listened to the first song. It's up, done, doing it. You know, because we have so many people that, you know, request to be on the show, and it's so difficult to balance everybody. But, you know, as soon as I heard your sound, it's like, oh, got to do this. Got to do it. You guys are that good. You are so good.
Thank you.
We would love to continue to have you back with everything that you release, and we'll gladly support you, you know, on this music's journey. So, you know, that's such a special time for you guys. And
it is.
I know it's been a tough year with everything that's gone on with COVID and, you know, coming off of that hype and then having to go through all this. But you know what? You hit the ground running when it comes to Gone and Runaway. So this is just something that's new. It's different. And I know that the fans are absolutely going to love it. What do you guys have coming up?
Well, we're planning April to go in the studio.
Okay.
Because we'd like to have something ready first start of the summer, end of spring. Yeah, because we'd like to kick off summer on the right way. And this is going to be a definite, you know, along the lines of Down with the Devil.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a few ideas that we're brewing.
I can't get enough of that song. I can't. It's just, it's on my playlist. It's up there.
It's my favorite song to play, actually.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, watching Warren, just like, he's got such character to him when he's singing.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, it's awesome. He does. Love it. Have to say hi to everybody for us, too. So
I will.
We cannot wait to see you guys play live.
Well, we can't wait to play live. And we can't wait to go across the country, because we had so many new fans in the last year and a half. And it's everybody's spread out. And we want to come to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we want everyone to see our live shows, our energy. And quite frankly, we just want to get to meet people. You know, like we see everyone like commenting, liking our posts. And it's like, we see you, mm-hmm. you know, like we want to go to your town and come talk to us. You know,
you're really popular out in the East Coast. And
we are.
And Quebec, like you guys play all the time, Quebec. Obviously, yeah. Ottawa, but you guys are really popular out in the East Coast. And...
well, I'm from the East Coast.
Oh, right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm from New Brunswick, a small town called Edmundston.
I know it well.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Like a lot of family out there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Sears.
Kim Sears are
a big name out there.
It is. I was going to, because when I saw your name, I was like,
yep.
That sounds familiar.
most of the French Canadian were from that were from New Brunswick that moved out there, right? So they had to learn to speak English coming out this way.
Yeah, I had no choice. I'm French, but I had no choice but to learn English.
And it's a different French. I don't want to say
it's a slang.
That's I was going to say it, but
it's like if two horses were talking.
It's true. And they got huge families. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 17 kids, 24.
Well, there wasn't much
children.
To do there.
Lots
and there's
of
a
fishing.
Lot of alcohol.
That's right. I it had been such a long time. I went out to a wedding and I figured, okay, you know, got a week off, go to the wedding. It was a 4-day wedding.
My goodness.
And it was just everybody's passed out on the floor and, you know, it's just, and they get back up to do the wedding hadn't happened yet.
if you think about it, every wedding's like a 2-3 day wedding because it takes you a couple days to recover.
I know, but I didn't have that recovery. I had to drive all the way back. So it was like, God, it's not good. Yeah. So it was a new experience for me. I hadn't been to any of the weddings out there. So it was like, I can't keep up with this, but everybody plays instruments. Everybody plays guitar and sings.
It's very folk too, right?
Yeah.
There's two styles in New Brunswick, metal and folk.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. East Coast is huge for folk. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
They have amazing artists. Amazing. I have a lot of friends I went to high school with, and they're doing great for themselves. I'm very happy for them.
And the Spoons are big in
oh, stop it.
The East Coast. No, really.
I know, but...
I don't mean the band. I mean, like, playing the Spoons.
I know what you're
we have
about.
Different sizes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wooden ones, steel ones.
What was your biggest influence? And then what was the band's biggest influence for music and sound?
Mine was Tool. Mixed with Pink Floyd. Those are my two top, if you look at my played songs and Spotify kind of thing.
Okay.
But I grew up on Metallica. So I wanted to be Lars until I started to learn playing drums.
When did you start playing drums?
12.
12?
Okay. I actually joined the Air Cadets and I was in the drum line.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so... I learned that way first, and then I think when I was 15, my parents brought home a new drum kit.
Oh, God, your parents must have wanted to lock you up with some padded walls. Yeah. Yes.
Well, she was actually pleasantly surprised when I started playing, because she's like, oh, wait, you know how to play drums.
So you
I was
picked
like,
up.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, you picked up.
Your parents were saints.
Yeah. But right now they do not regret it.
That's good. You know, when it comes to music and, you know, being a musician, it does so much for somebody because music gets us through everything in life. You know, we always can look at some event we were going through and we know exactly the song that was playing during that time. And I think it's so important for you know, young people out there that, you know, all these programs have been cut. And, you know, it's really sad because that's the one thing, you know, I think that grounds so many students out there.
Well, it's the one thing that doesn't have limits for kids.
Mm-hmm.
When some kid goes to school, he's limited to what the curriculum is telling him, right? Compared to music, it's that one freedom that you could do whatever you want to do, you know, and you just got to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it gives them confidence.
That's important.
You know, it gives a person confidence because you're your own person. It doesn't matter what your friends like or anything else. It's something that you enjoy in your own time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And you do it because you love it.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell with you guys, you love music. And that's another, you know, point to make too, because if you love what you do and it's not for the fame, it's not for any of that, you're doing it because you love your music. And you want to get it out there and hopefully that people enjoy it too. That's the sign of a true artist.
That's good.
Is there any live stream shows coming up?
The one on Friday.
That's coming out.
Which is going to, well, it's going to be on YouTube.
Okay.
That one was actually the last show we did with Danny as a lead guitarist.
Okay.
All right. So that show is definitely close to our hearts.
Nice. So now it's time for burning questions, if you're okay with that.
Give her.
Good luck.
Okay. If you could step into the shoes. Okay, so step into the shoes, not, you know, just want to perform with someone. Step into their shoes. A band, who would it be and why?
Ooh. That's a pretty good question. The answer would be different for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, Foo Fighters.
Nice.
I just want to see how they work.
They are so good.
I want to understand him.
Mm-hmm.
He's so brilliant. You know, and it's like he's the most down-to-earth guy. And that's not just by, like, you know, like watching the nice things about him online. But it's just like it's a consistent, hey, I'm not a douche. You know,
it's true. And he's a great support for so many other artists out there.
Yeah. I wish we could just sit down with him for like a few hours and just hear what he's got to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Dave Grohl is anything he does is just going to be great. You know,
doesn't matter what he touches.
Yeah. No matter what he touches. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Who do you think would be for Warren?
Some weird classic rock artist. I don't know. Let me think here.
See, he slides in the weird.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Wow. I wasn't ready for that one. Maybe like a Black Crowes, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay. Does he ever think he sounds a little bit like Rush, lead singer?
Yeah, when he goes into the wang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Geddy Lee.
We have a Geddy big Lee. Joke going on that every time he gets into that voice mm-hmm. in the studio, the producer goes and went, wang.
That's funny. Oh, man. What about as a band? The biggest influence for you guys that you would want to step into their shoes as a whole band?
The Stones.
Okay.
You know, I don't know the history, how pro they are. I mean, I know that at first there's definitely substances that helped with that.
90% of the, you know, rock bands back then. 100%.
We try and achieve the same result without, you know.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And you know what? Yeah. And that's great for other artists to hear. I know a lot of the fans out there right now, especially with everything that's gone on with COVID, you know, when the noise calms down in the world, it's easy to be able to, hey, you know, I've got some problems, feel antsy, whatever that's going on. I can just call my friend, go see them. You know, they've got that outlet. But when all the noise is taken away and you're isolated, you got nowhere to go. And you have to be face to face with an awful lot of stuff that's going on in your life. And in a lot of ways, that's the healthiest way to do it, is to be able to look at it and say, okay, if I deal with this now, I'm not going to have to deal with it in the future. It's not going to affect my life, my relationships, or my work, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that has come out, you know, for so many people. And so when you talk about that, you know, a lot of people have been dealing with the alcoholism. A lot of people have been dealing with, you know, drugs and depression and all that kind of thing. What would be the best advice you would give everybody to how you guys manage without any of that stuff and needing to fit into that mold?
Keep your chin up. You know, like, don't give up because it's not worth giving up. Sometimes you could be so close, you know, to what you want. And, you know, Warren is a recovering addict and he's very vocal about it.
That's good. That helps a lot because of people.
He's lost a lot of friends, the overdoses. I mean, he had to testify at a murder.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's gone through a lot because of, you know, drug-related things.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something we want to keep outside our band.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. We like the occasional joint, You know, we're Canadian.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
But I mean, it's like, we want to do this sober. Mm-hmm. Like, we, you know, like, we've all had our fun. This is not the time to destroy a life, right?
That's right.
And that's what those drugs do.
Well, it takes, you know, your career. It takes away your dreams, you know?
Yeah, because you become no longer able to continue.
That's correct. Yep.
You know, so it's no matter what, like, when times are dark, it's hard, you always got to focus on the good things you got, right? Mm-hmm. And not go back into something like that.
And it's hard, you know, when people are going through those dark times, to shut off the voices, to say, you know what, you're worth it. You're worth it without this. Yeah. Like, this is just a mask to what's going on underneath, and you got to love yourself.
Right? Yeah. And luckily, you know, like, now in 2021, there's a lot of mental health awareness.
Thank God. Yeah.
That brings people more forward to what they thought, hey, this is normal, or I'm weird, I don't want to tell people I do this. Mm-hmm. Right. My girlfriend's a psychotherapist. So I see a lot of how important mental health is. Mm-hmm. And every single person will deal with it differently, mm-hmm. in their own ways. So the main thing is talk.
That's right.
You know, don't keep it inside. Well, because that's when the destruction starts.
Yeah. Because the stigmatism has been there for such a long time, and there's so many different, variations of what mental illness is. And, you know, you might've had something through a traumatic experience. It might be, you know, through a relationship, work related, or a loss of someone. So many things, you know, your childhood, so many things that might bring something up, but understanding what your triggers are and knowing that you can deal with it. And there's ways to cope with things, and being able to talk about it is number one.
Yeah. It's okay to reach out.
That's right. And that's what I used to say, and I say it here often with a lot of the artists, make sure you have somebody that's on your team, because any label will put somebody on your team, because it's a lot of pressure on you guys, a lot of pressure to perform, to be at the top of your game. And then, you know, when you guys are on the road and you're so busy and you're up there in your career, you guys are just going nonstop, and you become machines, and it's very difficult to be able to ground. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So next question, biggest pet peeve.
Oh, being late.
Being late.
Yeah. If the guys would say that as well about me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when people show up late.
So us having the technical issues. No, I'm kidding. Cause that's one thing we are spot on. It's like, oh crap.
No, that was fine. I was just sitting at home waiting. Oh. So you're good.
He hates us.
He hates us right now.
Yeah, that's it. I'm hanging up now. No.
Okay. Biggest life lesson so far.
Oh, biggest life lesson.
I go deep. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. If you're unhappy, do something about it.
Okay.
That's awesome. I guess that's the life lesson that I had to learn the hard way. And if we live in a world that we can't control so many things, that the things you can control, if they make you unhappy, you don't need them.
Very good. Very, very good. Okay. Favorite album of all time?
Oh. The Wall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah, I think I've listened to that one more than anything else. Okay. I still do.
I think so. That one is just timeless, right?
Yeah.
Timeless. Now this is a really important one. So this is even heavier. So sorry to do this to you. What is your most useless talent to have?
If I push my tongue to the roof of my mouth, my throat kind of like grows like a frog.
See, we're not on Zoom. We can't see that.
Can we hear it?
I'll have to send you a video.
Yeah, you'll have to send me a video. I want to see that
one. It's creepy.
Can we hear it?
Is there a noise that comes with it?
Nope.
No noise. Ooh, I got to see this now. You promise you're sending that to me.
I will.
Okay, I got to see that. You know that might end up on the magazine somewhere, right? I can't help it. It's my job. Yeah.
Go viral.
That's right. That's right. Okay, best song that reflects you as an artist.
Oh, here I go again on my own.
Ooh. Perfect. Now, is there a practical joker in the bunch? What is the best practical joke that's been played on a band member?
Oh, my goodness. Where's Mig when you need him? Mig is the funny French guy. And
does he stick his wet finger in your ear?
Yes.
Yeah,
amongst other things.
I don't know what it is about this Eastern thing. What?
I'm kidding.
I caught that at the last minute. It's like, what? Oh, Lord. See, to be a fly on the wall with these guys, I'm telling you.
Oh, you would need therapy.
I told you, have somebody on standby, right?
Yeah, that's it. Every single time we've been out, something weird happens to us. I mean, from arriving at the hotel, when there's no cars there, mm-hmm. just a used condom and a syringe.
Oh, no.
To getting called in the hotel at 3 a.m. for noise complaint. But, you know, we were slightly inebriated.
Slightly.
Slightly. Slightly. Yes. So try and keep your cool when the security guard shows up. Usually that's Alex's job. But
he's the front man then.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God. Did any of the other bands that you've played with play any practical jokes on you guys?
Not really.
That's unusual.
I think people are afraid to mess with us.
Wow.
Because of Mig.
Really? I got to meet Mig now.
You do want to meet Mig.
Is he a pit bull?
No, he's just, well, I mean, pit bulls can be very nice.
They can.
They can be. They're a great dog.
If they have to, they'll bite.
Yeah.
Okay, you just tell him when I meet him, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen by me because I won't be afraid of anybody. I might be 5'3", but I'll do it no matter what.
You'll see. He's a really nice guy.
Well, even if he wasn't, I'd still do it to him anyway. So tell everybody where they can find you guys, the best place to get any updated news and your music.
If you want day to day, you're going to go on our social medias, Instagram, Taming Sorry Band, Facebook, Taming Sorry Band. Twitter is Taming_Sorry Band. And then our website, feel free to go on the website. We keep that updated all the time.
Mm-hmm.
TamingSorryBand.com. And yeah, there's always some nice stuff. All our content's on there. YouTube, go on YouTube. Again, like if you just search Taming Sorry Band, it should take you.
Okay.
And Spotify, absolutely. Give us some plays.
Perfect. And you also have the show that's coming up for Rogers that's going to be on YouTube as well that fans can watch out for?
On Friday. So I'll see if I can get you guys that link.
Okay. Plus your frog video.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see the frog video. I don't want to see a picture. I want to see the video of it happening.
Yeah. Deal.
Okay.
What is the coolest thing on your merch page?
What's the coolest thing on our merch?
On your merch page, yeah.
Oh. Well, it's our shirts. Our shirts are so cool.
All right.
Well, we like to help out bands. That's why we always mention the merch page because
yes.
You know, it gives you guys so much support.
Yeah. Oh, it does. That's what pays our bills.
That's right. Yeah. So we got to make sure that we give a shout out to all that stuff. So
perfect.
I used to play drums. The worst thing I ever could have done was sell my drum kit, because now I just take it out on my steering wheel. It's bad. But I did learn, though, the best band to play air drums to in your car is Def Leppard.
Absolutely.
Because you can keep one hand on your steering wheel. Yeah.
I was going to beat you to that one.
You were. I saw it coming.
Yeah.
So is Tama your drum of choice?
Mm. I really love the Star Classics. I've played two Tamas. The first one was a Rockstar.
Yep.
And the second one, Sophia, which is a Star Classic.
Yep.
And I love it because it's the Babinga Birch.
Oh, nice.
So now I'm at the lookout for a new drum because I'd like to change my setup for a bigger kick. Mm-hmm. Nice big oomph, right? You know? So I've been looking at Ludwig. I've played Ludwig before, so I'm a huge fan. But yeah, like, I'm not like the super sold on the Tama. Okay. It's just that model really spoke to me. And but yeah, like, growing up with Metallica, Dream Theater, you know, those are all Tama players. Mm-hmm. And I was very influenced by them. So I guess that's what got me to pay attention. But they also have really nice finishes.
Right.
I mean, all drums are drums, right? It's wood rolled, and as long as it's well built, it's going to somewhat sound the same. Mm-hmm. So, well, some people would disagree, but
I used to love their power toms. They were really deep.
Yeah, I don't. You see, I'm the opposite. Oh. I want like shallow or how? What? No, wait.
A higher pitch tom.
Yeah. Because I tune my skins low.
Okay.
So it gives me that nice mix in between the resonance and the spike of the hit.
Right. How many drum kits do you own? Do you have one or do you have more?
Currently, I have two.
Nice.
Because I normally just keep what I need.
Right.
Because it's a lot of space. So I have the Star Classic, and I have my my e-drums, my electronic drum kit, the Alesis Strike Pro.
Hmm.
Which is great. I mean, we jam in-ears so we can play with the electronic stuff.
Okay. And do you shop around for different snare drums at all?
I kind of do, but I want to make my own.
Oh.
So it's one of those things. I used to be a carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a project. I built an electric guitar. Now I want to build my snare. And I also have a lot of buddies who build snares. So it's one of those things where it's once I have $1,000 to spend, I'll get one. Nice. But the one I have right now is a Frankenstein of a Pearl EXR,
ooh,
which I took the wrap off. And it's birch. So I put a layer of maple inside and outside with a matte finish on it.
Wow.
And it just sounds incredible. Okay. So I've been happy with that one.
Very nice. Be interested to see it. You'll have to send us, you know, a photo too when you get it all done.
And who is the drummer? Yeah, of course. Who is the drummer for the Australian Beatles?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
I thought he was doing so good there. You knew it was coming back. Right?
That would be Dingo Starr.
Okay.
Dingo.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Oh.
And on that note, it was great to have you on the show. We really appreciate it. And you taking the time, you know, to be able to come on to Music's Journey with us. We are going to be watching you guys closely, and we'll be right on this journey with you guys. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show, Adam. And we really hope that you will come back and see us as soon as you guys got new news.
We will.
Okay. And we'll gladly have you guys back on.
Perfect.
It's been fun, Adam. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I love your laugh.
I'm going to use your jokes, by the way.
Oh, don't encourage him. You blew it. Adam.
Yes. But
see, it's going to keep on going now. All right. Yeah. See, you're not helping me in COVID here. You're just not. All right. Listen, you take care, make memories, and just keep knocking them out. You guys are doing fantastic. We love you guys.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Thanks, Adam.
Take care.
You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you once again for Adam Ouellette from Taming Sorry. He was here today, and what a great, great artist that he is. And their fourth single, Gone and Runaway. It's a pleasure to have him on, and we look forward to having him back to the studio. So we have great shows that are coming up. We have Don Amaro coming back. We have Sean Taya. We have Alan Frew from Glass Tiger. They got a special show coming up on March 21st. So we were going to be sitting down and talking to him. We have Maya Sita that's going to be here. Sean Carson's with us and Diane Chase. We also have Mackenzie Porter that's going to be here. We got so much coming up, and we look forward to having you guys tune in. And thank you once again. We are so appreciative to everybody around the world that's been listening to our podcast, and glad that we could be a little part of your day and hopefully bring you some great music and behind the lyrics with the artists. So thanks once again for tuning in to Music's Journey. Make memories, everyone. Make memories. Make them last and make them every day. I'm Kim Sear. Thank you for listening to Music's Journey.
Once again, a great big thank you to Adam Ouellette of Taming Sorry for chatting with us today. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by nowandthenmagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Stitcher, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.